This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:05 in the morning, Monday the 26th of April, and you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, joined with Philip C. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to political commentator Dr. Oh Ee Sun on the outcome of UMNO Supreme Council's meeting and other, of course, hot political news. But before that, markets.
Yes, so the US staged a mini comeback after 2 days of losses, driven by small caps. The Dow was up 0.7%, S&P 500 also up 1.1%, NASDAQ up 1.4%. So I think the Biden capital gains tax didn't have that of a lasting effect. Now over at Asia, Nikkei was down 0.6%, Hang Seng up 1.1%, Shanghai 0.3%, Singapore STA up 0.2%, while back home FBM KLSA up marginally 0.04%.
Very, very flat day for us in Malaysia. But for more on international markets, we have Kingsley Jones on the line with us, founder and chief investment officer of Jevons Global. Good morning, Kingsley. Now, the MSCI Asia Pacific Index is actually underperforming, and it seems foreign investors are taking money out of emerging Asia. Now, should investors remain risk-on for Asian equities, or are US stocks actually a better bet?
Well, the risk appetite of investors has clearly been swinging back and forth a little in Asia. And I think partly that's because of the severe second wave in places like India and also to a lesser extent Japan. But we think this will prove a buying opportunity as the European and US recoveries are strong. And the strongest area of activity is manufacturing, where Asia itself is strong also. So the market's a little cautious right now, but we think that actually as vaccination programs proceed across Asia and the crisis wanes, we'll see quite a bit of buying in the second half of the year.
But just on a follow-up to that, Kingsley, are you at all concerned about Biden's tax, or at least his intention to raise capital gains tax for the markets in the longer term?
It is concerning to investors. Clearly, that's a significant hike to 39% on the capital gains tax dimension. And that will affect the US markets, certainly, particularly in those stocks like the growth areas where investors potentially have big paper gains and they may choose to sell ahead of any tax increase. We certainly expect to see that. I think for those areas that are running now in the cyclicals, it's less of a concern because investors typically will be sitting on capital losses there.
Is that why Bitcoin is down so sharply, Kingsley? Could that be a reason for this?
It certainly could be a reason. I think there's multiple reasons there. One is simply the extent of the uplift, a factor of 10 in a security in the space of less than a year will cause people to take profits. But obviously a catalyst or a trigger is often the reason why you see a market rollover. And that indeed could be the case with Bitcoin, with, as we know, the so-called whales own a lot of Bitcoin and they are very wealthy people who could be impacted by this.
Right, Kingsley, the spike in virus cases in this region puts the spotlight back on the healthcare sector. Are glove makers still the top picks, or are there other players that could get a tailwind from the pandemic's resurgence?
Well, certainly the latex glove makers in places like Malaysia are doing well, and also the synthetic glove makers such as Ansell, which is listed in Australia, continue to see strong conditions, and they're guiding for that to continue. But we think there are many other areas of opportunity. I think both at present with the vaccination programs and looking to the future with what we've learned from the whole experience, I think the mRNA vaccine makers, you know, Pfizer, BioNTech and Moderna, have proven that this is not just a concept, it's a working solution and it may actually extend to other conditions. But scaling up manufacture is the big challenge, and there's a lot of specialty chemicals involved here. One of them is the so-called lipid layer that put around the mRNA to enable it to be soluble in the bloodstream. And German chemical firm Merck is a leading supplier of lipids to the BioNTech manufacturing program. And they also have a subsidiary called Sigma Aldrich that supplies specialty chemicals to electronics. And of course, semiconductors, whilst there is a bit of a shortage right now, underlying demand's booming. So we like specialty chemicals in manufacture for healthcare and also semiconductors.
And I want to bring the conversation back to Australia, because the National Australian Bank is looking at the Aussie dollar to be around 85 cents against the greenback by next year. Do you share the same bullish view as them?
Well, you know, the global commodity market is very strong, and that has a tendency to push the Aussie higher, as we're seeing. And on top of that, we need to add what looks to be a really powerful US housing construction cycle. You know, housing starts are strong, and new houses in the United States are sold almost as soon as they come on the block. So, look, I think that if you put that together with the move worldwide for governments towards fiscal stimulus, we have a really strong commodity cycle now, and that ought to indicate that the Aussie will go higher. So I think that NAB forecast above 80 cents may well come to fruition, probably not in this half, but maybe in the second half. And generally, the Aussie rises with gold as the US dollar weakens. And we're seeing a few signs of that. We think there's a lot of value in gold stocks right now, so we'll be looking to buy some of that. With Bitcoin fading, we think we will see stronger gold in the second half.
Deep diving on commodities, as you were alluding to, iron, right? Iron ore prices are already at 10-year high. Can valuations of Aussie mining companies like BHP and Fortescue still go up, or have they reached their peak?
I think they can still go up as a result of upgrades in underlying profits to those companies when they report in the second half around August, September. And the reasons for that is that many analysts are guiding for iron ore prices to be lower. And the logic there is, I think, around the margins that the companies are making. You know, the cost of production for the big iron ore players in Australia is below $20 US. It's more like $15 US. And you have iron ore pushing close to 200. So you can see the argument there. But I think many of these analysts are discounting or ignoring the fact that steel demand globally is really high. I mean, there are price increases going through the steel sector as we speak, but not only in China, also in North America and Europe. So look, that speaks to very strong underlying demand. Steel margins are high, so the capacity to pay is there. And we liken this to the 2003-2004 period, which frankly most in the market didn't live through. And this is likely to see maybe 30% upgrades in profits for BHP and the other majors going into the reporting season in August, September. So we're bullish. We think these stocks will push higher as soon as the market accepts that prices aren't going to collapse as forecasts currently indicate.
And Kingsley, are there any other sectors that you're a bull on in Australia? I mean, if there is a super commodity boom, what else should benefit?
We really should be looking, I think, at the electric vehicles market for underlying demand in new areas like lithium. I think to some extent that train's left the station, but we like mineral resources for that exposure. But beyond that, I think we really have to be very focused on finding opportunities in copper. OZ Minerals in Australia is probably the best pure play of scale in Australia, but there are plenty of opportunities elsewhere around global markets. So we look closely at those. And I mentioned gold, but beyond that, I think the rare metals complex is coming into play. We've seen big moves in rare earths, but probably less so in some of the lesser known metals in that complex. And we'll certainly be looking at those, things like tungsten, for example.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer of Jevons Global. Really a super bull when it comes to commodities, precious metals, you know, looking at reinvesting into gold stocks, anything related to mining, actually.
You know, there was a very interesting article I was reading yesterday, and that another beneficiary on commodity side is lumber prices.
Yes, there's been a huge shortage.
Correct. 140% increase in lumber over the year. And I wonder the implications for supply, especially for our furniture makers north of Johor.
Yeah, because it would depend on the source of wood they use for that. Yeah. But it's an indication of how robust the housing market is globally, right?
Yes.
Especially in the US, apparently people can't build it fast enough. But one thing that hasn't seen such good news recently, of course, is Bitcoin and other digital currencies, which plunged over the weekend as proposed capital gains tax hikes from US President Joe Biden led to a wave of selling. So Bitcoin, as I speak, is now $48,660. Is actually down 3.73%, only up 67% on the year to date. basis when you compare that to the peak of 60 over 1,000 US, how the mighty have really fallen.
Yeah, so the implication is that it's really affecting the wealthiest of Americans who are the buyers of this asset. So it's really not so much about the fundamentals. And as you say, right, Bitcoin has really no fundamentals in use. And really,
well, some would argue, but I don't know how to evaluate, right? It has no earnings, isn't it? It's a question of demand and supply. And it being a hedge against inflation. That's the theory. But how do you value that, though?
Absolutely. And that's why the overexposure to the appetite of a retail investor, I think, makes this currency more volatile compared to others.
Yeah, I mean, Kingsley did point out the buyers of Bitcoin, he imagined a lot of whales, and whales here refers to the super rich, those who have a lot of private banking money. So when you've enjoyed close to 60, 70% gains and you're thinking maybe this might be taxed, before it's legislated, you quickly want to lock in your gains, which is probably explaining why Bitcoin is seeing such a sharp plunge. But turning our eyes very quickly to our neighbor, Thailand, they are going to inject about $12 billion into the economy as the country faces its biggest outbreak so far of the coronavirus. So their prime minister said that the funds will be used to stimulate local consumption and promote investment and economic activity, though he didn't provide a timeline in which how it will be spent.
I think they're under pressure because there has been a report of a new outbreak driven by the highly transmissible B.1.1.7 variant, which has resulted in more than 24,000 cases and 46 deaths in just 25 days. So the government has already set up field hospitals and boosted medicine supplies to prepare for the surge.
Well, we'll be watching this news very closely. Now, in about half an hour, we'll be talking about Malaysia's debt issuance with Firdaus Rosli of the Malaysian Rating Corporation, otherwise known as MARC. But in the meantime, some messages, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.